today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, American Airlines announces new service to Chicago from Sacramento. And speaking of American Airlines, it's time to redeem those American miles before they are dust in the wind.
We love telling you about new shows on the Travel Channel. And today at 3:20, we're honored to have the lovely Carla Cavalli, who's the host of a Planet Primetime, premiering Tuesday night at 8 and 8:30.
I'm betting most of our audience has never been to Tahiti, Tom. So no better time than a cold, rainy day to take you on a journey to the South Pacific. 3:35 is departure time for French Polynesia.
And at 3:50, Gwen Duncan's here to talk about Airbnb. Are they starting to impact hotel bookings is the question, or is there plenty of business for everyone?
Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon, making you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It is another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFVK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. What an exciting day. It's raining. It's beautiful outside.
Only people in California think it's exciting when it rains.
I know. Well, you know, the question is going to be is when will the, what would the term be, the bloom be off the rose?
Yeah, exactly.
with this
well,
weather.
Well, there's a lot of snow in the mountains, and so I sell trips on the train to go up and see the snow, and all I can tell you is that people are falling all over each other. Our trips are completely full. I'm sure Key Holidays out of the Bay Area is probably doing equally as well. So it's folks want to go. The skiers are ecstatic because it's been years since they, and people who put on chains and everybody who works on the mountain, you know, they've got to be pretty happy because there's a lot more money flowing around up there now than there has been the last couple of winters.
Well, I tell you, it's been a few years since I've been up on the slopes and skied, probably too many. And I have to tell you, Mark, yeah. I'm warning you ahead of time. Uh-huh. I am going to go skiing this year.
Uh-huh.
So I want to warn you ahead of time. You may need to have a temporary co-host.
I made a rule in junior high school about skiing because I went to Arcade Junior High School, and we used to have ski trips a couple of times a year. And every Monday morning after a ski trip, there would be one or two kids who had plaster of Paris on their body who didn't have plaster of Paris on their body the previous Friday. And I always made note of that and thought to myself, that might be the downside of that whole skiing proposition.
Yeah, it is. You know, well, when you're young, you have a tendency to think that you're impervious, and you'll go places and do things that that you shouldn't, and you'll have friends that will talk you into going places on the hill that you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as you become a more, what you would refer to as a mature skier, yeah, you know your limitations, and if you just only go where it's safe, I'm hoping I'll be okay.
This is your friend Mark telling you, behave yourself when you go up on it. Everybody, if Tom, what we'll do is we'll have a live news broadcast the day that Tom is on the slope and let you know which ski resort he's at, so you can look out for him.
There you go. Wouldn't be a bad idea. All right, we're the Travel Guys, and as we always do at the beginning of the show, but first of all, Luis is off today, our normal board op, and we have Q today, and I'm queuing Q for the news music.
I'm leaving.
Well, that's close, but
we'll take it.
What else you got? Hey, well, we'll take that. Mark Hoffman with today's travel news.
All right, and if you don't have anything to do this evening, hang around, because at the end of the show, we have something for people who have absolutely nothing to do this evening.
Okay, I'll hang around.
It won't be for everyone. It'll just be for one person. All right, we talked about American Airlines. There's news all over the place about American Airlines. There are only 60-some-odd days left until American Airlines devalues their mileage program. They're about to do what United and Delta did over the last couple of years, and that is change from earning just miles to where, in order to get status on the airline, you have to have spend appendage, we call it, mm-hmm. and miles also. So when that happens, American Airlines is effectively devaluing and changing a lot of the award numbers. So if you are holding American Airlines miles and you're thinking of getting some kind of an award ticket, this would be a good time to go onto their website and see how many miles does it take to get the ticket now and how many miles will it take to get the ticket later. Not everyone is going up, but a large percentage of them are. Some are staying the same, and a very small number, like 7, are going mm-hmm. down. So you might be one of those lucky folks, and it might pay you to wait. But otherwise, it might not pay you to wait if you've got American miles. Make sure you check up on them in the next couple of months so you can find out if you want to use them. And it looks like you're going to have more chances to use American miles because American Airlines, after many, many years, it's been 2004 since we had an American Airlines flight to Chicago. We are going to have two of them starting on June the 2nd, a daytime flight and an overnight flight.
Awesome.
And then when the summer is over, it looks like these two flights, one's going to leave in the afternoon about 1:30, and one's going to be a red eye to Chicago. And then it looks like after the summer season is over, we're going to have an 8 o'clock in the morning flight to Chicago. We'll lose the red eye and the afternoon, and it'll just be an 8 o'clock in the morning, which is kind of nice for those people who don't like to get up at 6 in the morning to fly east. This will be an option for you. So
well,
American Airlines.
Back when we were talking with the people from Sacramento International Airport, and they were talking about the things that they wanted to get done
uh-huh.
And so forth, and we talked to the new guy,
yeah.
He's getting stuff done.
Well, and one of the things we asked him about was, you know, how about American Airlines to Chicago? And so here we are, right there. That's really a big deal because it gives people a lot more choices to get to the Northeast, and it means since the only nonstop we have really to the East Coast is that New York overnight, and the Dulles flight on United that's seasonal, why it just gives people more choices. More choices are good. You will have fewer choices to go to Kuwait starting on Monday because Kuwait Air has ended their service to New York City because they refuse to carry Israeli citizens. And the United States government says you're not going to carry Israeli citizens, then you're not coming to our country anymore. So Kuwait Airlines is going to fly their last flight on January the 18th.
Bulletin, wait, stop. I'm stopping you in the middle of your travel news.
You are.
Because, yeah, I don't do this very often, like
okay.
almost never. But I have a piece of travel news.
You do.
So to speak, somewhat of a bulletin.
Okay.
You know, a lot of our listeners who's been around for quite some time knows that a few years ago, the Travel Guys took an entire year off. And the reason was is that my co-host, Mark Hoffman, was the president of the National Tour Association, for not one time, but for the second time. So give you an idea as to how much effort and time Mark put into being president of the National Tour Association. He forego, and I know how much he loves coming in and doing this radio show, took a year off. Well, this year, coming up here in early February, Mark will be going to a big association gathering where Mark will be receiving from the National Tour Association, this a very, very special award. This is the Bob Everidge Lifetime Achievement Award. Mark has been with them, 20 years? And this is an award that doesn't go out to just anybody. It's somebody who's pretty dedicated. The award was named after Bob Everidge, or was put in his honor. He started as a volunteer leader back in 1996, and the award honors individuals who achieve dedication to the mission of the NTA, covers a span of at least 20 years of elected twice as an NTA board of directors. Mark has been supporting many of the NTA programs, such as its government relations efforts, which we've talked a lot about here on the radio. Mark, you know, I just want to say congratulations from your staff and from all the Travel Guys listeners and from your buddy Tom Romano for receiving such a great award.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It is anybody who has been volunteer leader of an organization once, let alone twice, can tell you that sometimes it turns out to be less fun than you thought it would be. And I can absolutely attest to that. But everybody hangs their hat somewhere. Everybody decides to support something in their life. And this has been part of my career. And the folks at the National Tour Association have done a lot to support my company and all that we do.
And I know that it means even even more to you because of the gentleman who really was founded it, and what the fact that you know him.
It's named for a man who has passed away and who I served under mm-hmm. a number of years ago when he was a leader at NTA. So it has a little special meaning to me because I knew the man for whom it was named, and he was really a great guy. So thank you, sir, for bringing that
you
up.
You bet. Congratulations. And now we return to Mark and just the old silly travel news.
The U.S. and Cuba, looks like commercial flights. We've been talking about them for a number of months. They are on the horizon. The U.S. and Cuba have reached a preliminary agreement and decided that December 16th is the date that to resume scheduled service between the two countries for the first time in more than five decades. There will be about 20 flights a day, plus still some of the charter flights taking people down there. So it looks like Cuba is about to become a huge destination for United States travelers. Reaching into the mailbag here, I have a couple of quick items. Tom, we got a note from one of our listeners to say that they were reading one of Chris Elliott's columns and said he found a loophole in Southwest Airlines boarding process that allows you to save $12.50. I don't think this is really quite kosher, but I'll tell you about it anyway.
Okay.
You know the early boarding thing?
I do. I've
one
used
person
it.
Buys the early boarding and
right.
gets on and saves the seat for the second person.
That's right. I do
so
that quite
the
frequently.
The second person doesn't have to pay the $12.50.
Yes.
If I'm getting on and you're trying to save a seat and I want to sit in it, you're not saving it anymore. I'm sitting in it.
Really?
Well, I paid my money to get on the airplane. You can't. Anyway, I thought that was kind of cute. Also, TSA PreCheck enrollment has topped 2 million. Good for them. Somebody gets a sucker. And here's something cool from the mailbag. My wife, Dee, and I are hosts of the West Virginia podcast, a podcast about the state of West Virginia and the stories of wonderful people who make it such a great place to live. I just came across your show, Why West Virginia is a Must-See, in your archives. Great show. Didn't see any copyright on the files and was wondering if we could include the Hatfields and McCoys segment on one of our podcasts.
Awesome.
And, so that was kind of nice.
That's great.
New York Times travel show last week. We had our big show, and It's Easy, the folks who had the renewal of passport services, mm-hmm. won Best Show Service. They were offering people
wow.
passport photos there. So I thought that was kind of fun. And I have a couple of other little things here, but we'll save those for a little bit later on. That is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com. You can follow along with all of the items on today's show, including you can take a look at the lovely Carla Cavalli. She is our guest next. She's with the Travel Channel's new television program, Planet Prime Time. She was also Miss New York.
And she is lovely. No wonder she was Miss New York.
Yes.
She is lovely. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com. You can see her picture.
That's next here on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends.
Hello there. You've stumbled across the Travel Guys here on KFVK. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And on a regular basis, we have an opportunity to bring on guests from our friends at the Travel Channel. And today, our special guest is the host of a brand new Travel Channel show that starts up next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. It's called Planet Prime Time. It's going to be hosted by Carla Cavalli. Carla is an actress, fashion stylist, professional dancer, producer of various shows for such outlets as E!, CBS, NBC, Outside TV, Resort Sports Network, not to mention the fact that Carla was Miss New York. Carla, welcome to the show, and tell us here on the Travel Guys a little bit about the new television program on the Travel Channel, Planet Prime Time.
Well, basically, I travel around the world and I experience other cultures via their television shows. So a lot of hosts will do it through food, or even Booze Traveler does it through booze or alcohol. I do it through TV. So it's basically just a vessel for me to really kind of understand what makes a culture and what makes people tick in that particular area.
Now, Mark owns a company that takes people on all over the world. And one of the places they like to go is they go down to Southern California and go to game shows. Game shows is something that people love. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I am so fascinated by the game shows in other countries. Carla, tell us about some of the most wackiest experience at these game shows in other countries.
it's really kind of funny. The game shows around the world are a little bit different than American game shows. First of all, they last forever. I feel like they're hours and hours long. So people sit in front of the television and watch these really energetic, wild, crazy, wacky game shows where people are either dancing or standing on their head or eating something weird. I got to experience in the first episode, you'll see, a game show in Japan called Gaki no Tsukai, which is one of the most famous game shows in the world and in Japan. It's been on for decades. It's almost like our Saturday Night Live, kind of. It's full of comedians that are icons and legends in the country. And they do fun and silly and wacky things, and I got to be a part of it.
Now, it looks like, Carla, that your show is premiering this coming Tuesday evening. Is that right?
That's correct.
Then, with back-to-back episodes, you're looking for really things that are offbeat and off the beaten track, it kind of sounds like.
Yeah, it actually kind of depends. In some countries, we visit shows that are the most popular. And then in other countries, we find shows that are really controversial or exciting or wild or crazy or funny or the funniest. So it kind of depends on the landscape and what people are watching in that particular country.
In the second episode, it mentions that that you're talking about you found the Mexican version of The Daily Show. That sounds like it might be fun.
Yeah, that was really, really interesting. It's called El Incorrecto. And, you know, it's kind of like a satirical news show. It's funny. I think almost every country that we visited around the world has their particular version of The Daily Show. And it's really interesting to see the different personalities that, you know, sort of come out of that, you know, especially knowing Jon Stewart and a lot of the guys that host the shows that are similar to that here in the States. You know, it's basically shining a light on things that are happening culturally and politically in each country and, you know, doing it with comedy. For instance, it's sort of like a variety show in the Philippines. They've got a show called Eat Bulaga, and they give away money to people who are in, you know, impoverished neighborhoods, and the entire village comes out. Thousands of people come out to visit the gentlemen that are bestowing these gifts upon these people that really, really need it. And it shows that as a culture, they are really kind of kind and very giving people. So that's kind of what I learned through that. And then you've got, like, you know, Colombia, where they've got Sábados Felices, which is a comedy show that also has been on the air for decades. And they just, you know, want the people to laugh because their country has gone through some hard times, you know, and this show has been around for people as really sort of like a refuge for them to kind of get away from their daily lives and laugh a lot.
Well, with that being said, let's ask the other question. How about the commonality that you find in the different countries that you visited and then the major differences that you see?
Oh, goodness. It's really weird because it, within all those differences is a commonality. It's like so meta and so many levels of like fascinating stuff that you kind of dig through. I love the fact that so many countries around the world are using entertainment to educate. And what I learned is specifically in South Africa, they call it edutainment. And in India, they're doing the same thing. They're educating women and men about, like, important issues that are going on in the country, like women's rights and, like, fighting crime and injustice. And they're doing it through television, be it a drama or a comedy. And I find that sort of to be almost the most interesting thing, that television is actually healing people or educating people around the world.
Our special guest from the Travel Channel, Carla Cavalli, a host of Planet Prime Time, premiering this coming Tuesday on the Travel Channel at 8, two episodes back to back. Carla, in all of your visits to all the different countries, which one, if any, did you have any difficulty with, you know, bringing your crew in and doing the filming? Was everybody pretty open for you?
Everybody was pretty open. I mean, they were always like, who the hell is this girl, Carla Cavalli, coming in here? We're not putting her on our show. Are you crazy? You want to give her a huge scene in our million-dollar production? And somehow we managed to convince them to say yes. And I really had to sort of prove myself on a regular basis that I could perform, that I could speak the language, that I could do things that they were asking me to do. So, you know, it's a bit of a challenge, especially because productions around the world don't necessarily run like they do in America. They're not necessarily as time efficient, to put it nicely. So, you know, it was or necessarily as organized. But that's probably because around the world, television is slowly growing. You know, they're they're catching up to us. You know, we've been we're Hollywood. Like, we've been at the game for a while.
Carla Cavalli has been everything from an NBA dancer to a finalist in the USA Miss USA competition, and now she is debuting a brand new show on the Travel Channel Tuesday night. It's called Planet Primetime. It'll be on. There are two episodes Tuesday night at 8 and 8:30. Carla, it really does sound like a lot of fun. I'm going to mark my calendar and see it. I've always kind of liked game shows anyway, so that sounds like a lot of fun. But we should point out that you're starting out with game shows, but there are all kinds of different situations coming up down the road.
Yeah, there were a few different shows actually in Japan that we visited, not just game shows. So you'll get to sort of sample a little taste in each country of all different types of genres.
Did you ever get to be a contestant on any of the shows or be part of a talk program while you were there, while you're doing this series?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. I was diving in. I got to be on, like, an extreme sports show. I got to be on plenty of live talk shows where I had no idea what language we were speaking, and I just had to kind of smile and nod and try to figure out what was happening. It's kind of like a guessing game sometimes, especially when you don't speak the language. You know, I was part of dramas. I was a part of comedies. And in Japan, yeah, I got to play a really, really fun game on the Japanese game show that you'll get to see in the first episode.
Well, we're excited for you and to see the program coming up. That's once again Planet Primetime this coming Tuesday, 8 o'clock, two episodes back to back. Our special guest from the Travel Channel, Carla Cavalli. Thank you so much for spending some time with the Travel Guys, Carla.
Thank you, Mark and Tom. I really appreciate it.
She is a babe. That's all I can say. And I say that with all due respect. She's a great interview. She's got a lot of energy. She's beautiful. I mean, she's a babe. I'm watching that show next week. I'm telling you.
All right.
That's what I'm doing. Dina's going to have the news next. But before that, remember, don't go anywhere, because if you have nothing to do this evening and on a rainy night, you're looking for something to do, we have two tickets to something that you might be able to win at the end of the program. But you have to be available to go out in the rain tonight. Well, not in the rain for the event, but go out in the rain to get to the event at 7 o'clock. We will have more about that coming up on the second half of the Travel Guys. You're listening to News Radio KFBK.
We're back. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Once again, visit TravelGuysRadio.com. Follow along with the show. Podcasts of all the shows available there at KFBK.com, as well as on your iHeart Radio app.
Wow, that was very impressive the way you rattled all that off.
Yeah, all that stuff. Done that before.
So, have you ever been to French Polynesia, South Pacific, Tahiti?
Well, I have not. I was going to ask you the same thing, but then again, I know a little bit about this interview we're going to do, and you have been there some time ago.
I have, yes.
I'll tell you, it's just a beautiful part of the world and definitely on my bucket list.
It really is an amazing, amazing part of the planet, and we asked, you know, when you go down there, anywhere you go, obviously there are choices. You can stay on land, or you can, in this case, because they're islands, a cruise is an option to go from island to island. And it's a good option for the South Pacific, because there isn't a tremendous amount to do on any particular island unless you want to just veg out. So the chance to see all the islands, or many of them, on a short itinerary. It just so happens that Sports Leisure Vacations has an itinerary like that this summer. But this is such a great destination. I wanted to give people the opportunity to learn a little bit about it and learn about some of the options. Paul Gauguin Cruises is the name of the luxury cruise line that cruises in Tahiti. And we had the opportunity to sit down this week and talk to Vanessa Bloy from Paul Gauguin to tell us a little bit about the cruise line and what they offer.
Paul Gauguin Cruises is the expert in French Polynesia. We've been sailing there for years, and what we try and do is really tailor the wonders of Tahiti, French Polynesia, and the South Pacific to the cruise ship experience that guests will find aboard. We're small, we're intimate, we only have 332 guests on board, and it's a really great way to see all of the islands of Tahiti in a really great way. We offer exceptional service, we have exclusive retreats, luxurious accommodations with balconies in nearly 70% of our Ocean View Rooms, and we also have three dining venues, Water Sports and Enrichment Program, and a Ambassadors of the Environment Youth Program.
Wow. There is plenty to do both on board the ship, and there are lots of shore excursions. There are fun things to do, and every island is very different, but this is kind of a third world destination. Is it not still, Vanessa?
You know, Tahiti is a very beautiful, welcoming place. It's very rich with culture, with a wonderful hospitality about it, and the destination is just amazing. Gorgeous lagoons, white sand beaches, palm trees, but it's very private. It's off the beaten path, and one that is amazing to discover. And I would just say, if you've ever wanted to go to the South Pacific, this is a great way to do it, to be able to experience all the different islands, what they offer, from the gorgeous Mount Antimono on Bora Bora, to Moorea, to Wahine, to the Tuamotu. So it really, the destination offers a lot of variety as well.
Vanessa, you mentioned the size of your ship by the number of people that it carries. This is considered a luxury small ship, I'm pretty sure.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And for those that maybe have only traveled on large ships, two things. Number one, what defining differences that will people notice? And do you spend more time off the ship than on a trip like this?
What's great about this particular itinerary is we do get to spend a lot of time in each port. In fact, on two of the ports, Bora Bora and Moorea, we overnight on this itinerary, so you actually get two full days there. We also have our private island, Motu Mahana, off the coast of Taha, where we provide a full day of relaxation. We provide a sumptuous barbecue, floating bar, and a full-service bar with coconut drinks. We also have different kayaking activities and snorkeling activities, and also Polynesian activities by our Gogans, who are our ambassadors aboard the ship. They actually, aboard the ship, provide also additional Polynesian activities. They perform traditional Tahitian performances. And what you'll find, too, aboard our ship is that the level of service is amazing. It's a 1 to 1.5 crew-to-guest ratio, which is among the highest at sea. And it really provides that pampering that you will get on a very small, deluxe cruise ship.
We're talking with Vanessa Bloy from Paul Gauguin Cruises. Vanessa, food is always a big part of cruising. Tell me about dining on the ship.
We also have three dining venues to select from. We have a culinary program by Jean-Pierre Vigato, who's a celebrity chef from France, who has designed our specialty restaurant, La Veranda, and also provides dishes in L'Etoile. And we have a really great enrichment program aboard, where we have anthropologists, marine biologists that come aboard and talk about French Polynesia, the cultural and the history of the area. So guests can really get that feeling of the local spirit and what French Polynesia is all about.
Tom, you know, I think probably one of the most memorable things from my trip to the South Pacific didn't occur during the daytime, but rather after dark, because here we are out in the South Pacific,
right?
And the ship turned off all the lights that it could legally turn off one night. And here we are, and we're floating out in the middle. And remember, in the South Pacific, there aren't the lights from cities and things like that to kind of light up the sky and dull the lights. And the stars at night, it felt like that you could reach out and touch them. I mean, all kinds of constellations and things that it felt literally like you had the universe at your fingertips. I can't ever remember a feeling like that. When you're traveling, you kind of cherish those moments. When you
just feel like you've crossed into another plane. And sometimes it happens in a theater, and sometimes it happens at a historic attraction or a venue. And in the South Pacific, for me, it happened at night, just standing on the deck of that ship and looking at the stars. And it was truly one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had, not only as a traveler, but just as a human being. I mean, it really gave me a little bit of a feeling of what it might be to be an astronaut. So wow. It's not only just the people and the venues that you see during the day, but it's the unexpected little joys of, do they still have Les Bus in Papiette, the hop-on, hop-off sort of public transportation thing?
Yes, they do. And one of the other highlights of Papiette is that they do have food trucks that are very popular down in the downtown area. And there's a lot of guests that will go before their cruise and enjoy kind of the local flavor of the food trucks there, because it's some of the most award-winning food in the world.
Vanessa, you said you've been to the islands, right?
Yes, I've been many times.
Okay. What's your favorite island? I mean, to me, I remember Bora Bora being this wonderful place where they had those bungalows that were out over the water and stuff like that. And we got to visit a couple of them. And I thought, wow, that would be, if I wasn't on a boat, on a ship, this is the way that I would see these islands. And I remember riding around on horseback, and I've only ridden on horseback probably 3 or 4 times in my life on one of the other islands. What to you, you've been there. Tell us, what was your favorite adventure?
You know, I really do love Bora Bora, just for some of the reasons why you just gave, but also I love Moorea. Moorea is very lush. It's got a lot of pineapples, and it's just the beauty of it. It's the sister island to Tahiti, so you can actually see it from the island of Tahiti, and it's just a really wonderful island. If you ask a lot of our guests who have done the various itineraries that we offer, a lot of them will say Moorea is their favorite island. It's one that is not as acclaimed as Bora Bora, but Moorea is one that's just very beautiful and gorgeous and offers a lot of different experiences, from hiking up the beautiful rugged mountains to the beautiful lagoons where you can swim with marine life and snorkel and really experience the beauty both by land and sea. The other favorite place that I will say is our private island, Motumahana, which offers it's a highlight for guests to go to really have fun and experience this private island that they just get to experience themselves. And we also have a private beach in Bora Bora that's exclusive to our guests that they can enjoy with gorgeous views of Mount Atimono in Bora Bora.
But we should also mention that you don't have to be somebody who likes to lay on a beach to have a wonderful trip to Tahiti. If you're 75 years old and you don't lay on a beach anymore, this is still a fascinating place. And some of the things, Vanessa, that you were talking about earlier that happen on board the ship are what provide this wide variety of things to do both on and off the ship that give you just a plethora of opportunities.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Travel Guys. We're visiting with Vanessa from Paul Gauguin Cruises. Mark, I see there's a lot of cruises that you guys take. You'd have a Fiji and French Polynesia, Fiji and Malaysia and Indonesia. Mark, which cruise is it that your group is going to go on?
Oh, I was hoping that we would get to that at some point in the proceedings here. Yes, Sports Leisure Vacations is offering a trip to Tahiti this summer in August, and it is the 10-day itinerary, Tom, so it gives folks it gives you a little extra time on some of the islands. Extended stays on Bora Bora and on Moorea, as Vanessa was talking about, is such a beautiful island. So you're going all the way out into the South Pacific. It's a long ways to travel, and while you've got a beautiful airplane to get you out there from nonstop from Los Angeles and back, it's a long trip. And so you don't to be able to have 10 or 11 days is significantly more important, I think, than having a 7-day itinerary. And that's why we chose it. We feel it's a little bit better value. And we also feel like that you're probably only going to go to Tahiti in the South Pacific once. For most people, it's a one-time visit. And so if you're going to only go once, you might as well go in style with Paul Gauguin, and you might as well have an itinerary that allows you to really see the island so that when you come back, you feel like that you've really been there.
Yeah, and we love our guests. And everybody aboard really pampers everyone. So it's a very luxurious experience that you really can't find out there in any other destination.
Well, all I can say is sign me up, Mark. Save me a spot. I got to talk to the wife about this one. I would like to do this.
It's the kind of place that people, even people for whom it's not on the bucket list and say, well, you know, that kind of sounds like fun. They get there. It's just amazing. I remember sitting on the edge of a private island. We went with a different cruise line when I went many years ago, but they had a private beach and we were sitting in the on the water's edge, and it was about bathtub warmth water.
Yeah.
And these little flying fish were darting all around us. And the lady who was sitting with me was in her 80s. And we were sitting there on the edge of the water, and I'll never forget this. And she turned to me and she said, you know, I've been waiting all my life to come to someplace like this.
Wow.
So pretty special. Paul Gauguin Cruises to the South Pacific. Go to travelguysradio.com. You will see a link there to their website and to our cruise this summer. We would love to have you join us. But if you don't join us, please make a spot on your list for a trip to the South Pacific. Vanessa, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. We hope to welcome all of your listeners aboard our ship. So, Arana.
All right. Thank you so much, Vanessa. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Wow. South Pacific.
I love that movie.
I want to go back there.
Yeah, I
own the company. You'd think that I would be the person who would get to go, but you know, one of my staff is going.
Yeah, so. Nice going. And that just goes to show how what kind of guy Mark
shows
is.
How much control I have at my own business.
Go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link.
There is.
And there's a just outstanding picture of Tahiti, and it's got the beautiful water and all these little huts.
And I'm serious, even if you have no interest in going with us in the summer, although we're going to take a small group and have a wonderful time, and what better way to go to a third world country than to go with, you notice she didn't, when I said it was a third world country, she didn't want to go there. then to have somebody who's already, Scott Angeletti's already been to Tahiti once with a group, so you're going with somebody who knows the lay of the land. Let's see here. I have the Sports Leisure Vacations winner. We had another winner last week, so we're back at $100 for the travel card jackpot, and our winner is Judy Quarterman. Judy was on our New Year's Eve trip to San Diego, and not very many sports leisure travelers traveling at this time of the year, so the chances of winning have gone up fairly dramatically. So Judy Quarterman, if you are listening or somebody that knows you is listening, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday before 4 o'clock, and you will win yourself a $100 travel card from Sports Leisure Vacations.
And if you don't travel with Sports Leisure right away and you still want to enter,
you go to travelguysradio.com and you fill out an entry form, which a number of people did last week, Thomas, and we threw all of their entries in, so there aren't very many people traveling right now. Maybe one of those folks will have their name called next week. You don't have to be a traveler to enter the contest. If you travel with Sports Leisure, you'll be entered automatically. If not, go to travelguysradio.com and just put contest in the subject line, and we will throw you right in there.
You know, Airbnb has become more and more popular over the last couple of years, and right after the break, we're going to talk with Gwen Duncan, share some thoughts on how it might be impacting hotel bookings. And that's next.
The good news is,
welcome back to the Travel Guys. It's the final lap. Gwen Duncan is joining us from Cordially Yours Travel. Hi, Gwen.
Yes.
Hey, there she is. Where are you at, Gwen?
Well, I'm at Fort Lauderdale Airport, just coming back from a smooth jazz cruise.
Oh, if you just stay there 4 days, I'll be there on Friday afternoon.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, yes, flying in with our Key West group. Okay, so, Gwen, we got to get right to it today. We're talking about Airbnb versus hotels and all that kind of jazz.
Yes. And I was looking, actually, at the research for what could be expected for 2016 and how it affects the hotel industry. And what's happened is it's basically affected the low-cost hotels because most business travelers don't use Airbnb.
Uh-huh.
But their inventory is quicker to get a hold of. And what has happened is the economy was terrible between 2007 and 2009, and that's what inspired the the creation of Airbnb. And then from 2009-2013, it grew and grew and grew in popularity to the leisure traveler. But then hotels started doing very well because they had merged or downsized, and so they were getting a top dollar supply and demand. They've been doing very, very, very well. So what's happened now is between 2013 and now, Airbnb, along with HomeAway and some of the other vacation properties, are working with the hotel industry, and it's predicted that by the end of this year, there will be at least one hotel brand that will be working with Airbnb for doing bookings. Sorry about this.
So you'll be able. So what you're saying is that it's possible that if you're a Marriott Rewards member, that by the end of this year, it may be entirely possible to book an Airbnb with Marriott with your Marriott Rewards.
Well, it would be for with a particular brand. I don't know that it's going to be that brand.
Right.
I'm so sorry for this announcement. But anyway, Jesus, can you believe this? But anyway, there's going to be enough space for Airbnb and HomeAway and the low-priced hotels always.
Okay, Gwen, we're gonna let you go because there's a lot of background noise there. But the
It wasn't there 15 minutes ago.
That's all right. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. The takeaway from this, Tom, is that it sounds like is kind of exciting. If you have, it's entirely possible that by the end of the year, you may be able to book Airbnb by using some of your points. You could stay in somebody's house with hotel points if that's what you're looking for.
I'll tell you, who would have thought that was going to happen?
The hotel chains have got to do something, and with Marriott buying Starwood, we're going to be down to, well, we won't be down like the airlines, but still, it seems logical that if these guys are eating their lunch in some ways, especially with the leisure travelers, and I get it. When I'm on business, the Airbnb thing has very little interest to me at all, but if I were staying on a beach for 3 or 4 days, I rent a vacation home or something like that, why not rent somebody's home? All right. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel, she was in Fort Lauderdale, so for the folks who don't think this show is live, right there.
That should have proved it right there.
That proved it right there, yeah.
I was hoping she'd be quiet long enough before I could hear the announcement. Don't know what it was.
And poor Gwen, she probably looked for a long time to find a corner, you know, a place where there wasn't a lot of noise or something like that. All right, listen, we talked about earlier in the program about how if you weren't doing anything tonight and you were willing to go out in the rain, that we might have something for you to do.
What do you got?
The Mariloma High School alumni, friends and alumni of Mariloma High School, is sponsoring a theater night tonight. The Sacramento Theater Company, Driving Miss Daisy. You know that old show, Miss Daisy? Okay. Won a lot of Tony Awards when it was on Broadway. And so it's tonight at 7 o'clock. The Sacramento Theater Company has a performance of Driving Miss Daisy. We have two tickets available. If you can come tonight at 7 o'clock, it would be lovely if you had some kind of tie to Mariloma High School. But if you don't, I have one pair of tickets to give away at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530 to the first caller. You have to be able to go to the theater tonight at 7 o'clock downtown to the Sacramento Theater Company's performance of Driving Miss Daisy, and you can win two tickets.
Okay.
921-1530, 800-834-1530.
Right. And as soon as we're done, Mark will step into the other room and will personally take the call. And award the tickets.
That's it.
Is the phone ringing yet?
Yeah, probably so. Our listeners will take just about anything. Dina is here to give us the news and tell us how it's really raining in Sacramento. How you can tell is if the creek at Winding Way, the Arcade Creek at Winding Way, overflows. How you can tell that it's raining in Sacramento.
Next weekend on the Travel Guys, super super special guest comes your way. Mm-hmm. Mark has lined up an interview with Mr. Wayne Newton. Live on the Travel Guys next Sunday.
You betcha.
You have a great rest of your week, folks. Stay well. We'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye.